So if you want to do that again.
Well, anytime you get ready to record.
Yep, you're ready.
This is Claude Shepherd, the old Florida Whipcracker, 2103 Southwest Williston Road, Gainesville, Florida. I've been doing leather work, learning to plait whips since I was 7 years old. I enjoy it, and I intend to follow it as long as I'm able to work at it. I've had a lot of wonderful people come by and ask questions about it, and I always got time to explain and demonstrate to anyone come by that's interested in leather work. The biggest interest I have is getting to go to White Springs at least once or twice a year and perform up there, which I used to do on amphitheater. But since I got too old for that, I just go up there and just be in the way around.
Oh, I bet you're not in the way at all. Where were you born and what year?
We had a little town, Chiefland, Florida. 1907, April the 7th, 1907. I'll give you one card here.
Oh,
not
yeah.
Cards, but there. Yeah. I get these compliments of the city. They come up for me. So it's been 31 and a half years.
Oh.
You better write my, right up there, put 32608.
Okay, that's a zip code here.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't I put your phone number right on here, too?
And right under there, it's 376-3781.
Mm-hmm.
And that area code is 904, of course. Mm-hmm. That's just like all of the biggest part of Florida.
North Florida, anyway.
And you can carry this one up and have another to hand out to somebody.
I'll keep this one with the tape, and I'll put this one in my bag.
Okay.
You were telling me before that nobody taught you how to braid whips. You picked that up on your own. How did that come about?
That is hard to explain, because you never knew.
Yeah.
Every time that I would get an opportunity to get a whip in my hand to look at or check on,
mm-hmm.
I was always studying the way that them strands went around there, and somebody had to know how to get them in there,
mm-hmm.
like that. So I figured if they did, I could.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just watch it and figure it close out, and then I'd get my strings and I'd try to make it look like the end of the whip down there, and then I went to centering my attraction and interest on the upper part of it, how
mm-hmm.
to start it.
Mm-hmm.
And my whips are not spliced from where they start at the handle,
mm-hmm.
or the staff you might refer to, until it gets down to where the deer skin goes in,
mm-hmm.
for the tail of it.
So that's all single strips of leather, that whole?
Right here's where I'll show you how I cut them out and everything.
Okay.
And I had to learn how to do this the hard way, because I've never seen nobody cut it that way.
When you were growing up, there wasn't anybody around that was doing this? You just saw the whips already made? And then
yes, ma'am. Once in a while, a feller would know how to, put the twisted deer skin tail, and they only put two strands then, and I put four
uh-huh.
for the tail end of it. Now, this is where it goes around the curve. And then I cut around the curve and
uh-huh.
go back the length of the hide. And if I want it longer than that, I'll turn around and come back.
How long are those lengths?
These here are about 15 feet long.
Okay.
I have had them 60 feet long.
Mm. That's
a whole
leather,
side of leather in one to cover one whip.
Yeah. Now, this isn't deer skin. What is this?
This is 3 ounce liner leather.
Uh-huh.
Russet tan, and it won't stay wet,
mm-hmm.
or it'll never harden.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what they make and line fancy shoes and boots with.
I see. Now, when you get it, does it come as one solid piece of
it
leather?
It comes in a whole side of leather, approximately 22 square feet of leather to the side.
So what do you do when you get the side in? You start?
I start cutting from the back part. A skin of leather is split right down the back of the animal.
Mm-hmm.
And that is only done whenever they're putting it in process to tan it. The whole hide comes off in a hole. It just split right down the underneath the belly of the animal and skin it out.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they start to process it at the tannery, they cut it right down the center.
Uh-huh.
And then they got a left and right side.
Right.
So the brand on a normally branding a calf is branded on the left-hand side. So you can tell right or left side, and you can tell that by looking at the front shoulder part of it or the which I'll demonstrate in a few minutes to you.
Okay. So you have that whole side 11. Now, do you start cutting that up into like long rectangular sections?
Yes, ma'am. That is a standard width for a 11, 12, or 13 foot whip, you see.
Now, that's what, about 2 inches wide?
That's about two and a little less than 2 3/4.
So you take a long rectangle, 2 3/4 yeah. wide, and...
And then I take a pair of calipers.
Uh-huh.
See, that's about the standard.
I see.
And here's the way I get it, the idea of how far, you see that...
I see. You take your calipers and measure it.
Measure it out. And then I draw it on the leather, imprint it on the leather like uh-huh. that, and then cut according to that.
Uh-huh.
And to get these turns like this right in here,
mm-hmm.
Draw it off kind of on this right here, take my calipers, and you come up. This is just one line. You come up. And then you circle at about 1 1/4 at the point of high point of the contour there.
Uh-huh.
And you come back into the cut that you had just made 10 inches down.
I see.
And then you start cutting around this way and on out around, you see.
I see. So that makes like a little twist or a loop.
Run these around from the point of this around to where that it won't pass the edge of that mm-hmm. leather, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got to keep going around.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In fact, I have a more explicit. Where did I put that? I think I hit it, I believe. Yeah. Here's one drawed out.
Oh, I see.
You have to be able to prove what you tell a person.
Uh-huh.
And show them, because you can't expect them to know what it is. So
I
you
see.
Start
okay.
there, and you mark down with your calipers, which I'll see. You come right down with your calipers, and that one edge of it, follow that edge of that right
uh-huh.
on down. And then you come on here, like this, and then you see you leave a fraction, approximately, you stop actually approximately about 4 1/2, 5 inches
uh-huh.
above this, because you got to trim this hard edge off. Then you circle around. And from this point to this point should be approximately 1 1/4 inches.
Okay, now when you're doing this, do you measure as you go with the calipers or the yardstick, or do you just, by now do you know about the distance from
the other side? Well, I can look at a height and tell you exactly near about to the inch how long it is this way, and this table, I got it numbered off 7 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be hanging off there 6 inches, and down here 12
right.
inches,
right.
So you got 8 1/2 length.
So you can judge that
and
way.
And this, when you cut it in this strip and go to cutting those strands,
mm-hmm.
they'll stretch out. And if this piece here, say that this piece here is 14 feet long,
uh-huh.
when you get the strands cut out, they're about 15 and a half feet long. They stretch
see.
That way.
Now, do you do anything to with the leather? Do you soak it or anything like that before you start working with it?
No, ma'am, this does not require soaking.
Yeah, this is soft and nice.
That is known as russet tan.
Uh-huh.
That's for making chaps and such.
Uh-huh. That's beautiful.
And it makes good whips.
Yeah.
Now, this is another piece of the russet tan, which is not processed. It's got a boil of cream to it, you see. That's a short hide there, a small one.
Uh-huh.
Some of them run maybe 17 feet, some of them 18, 20.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a large hide to go more than 21 1/2 square feet to the hide.
Uh-huh. Where do you get your leather? Where do you get the hides?
I get it from various leather companies. I get some, such as this,
mm-hmm.
from Hebb Leather Company in Danvers, Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it comes from Schultz Leather Company in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of it comes from Highland Leather Company at Seaburn. And then I get a lot of it from Texan
in Fort Worth, Texas.
I see. Now, does that depend on the kind that you're looking for? You would go to a different supplier for
it's,
different
it's
colors?
It's old 3 ounce leather like uh-huh. this, liner leather.
What is the what does the 3 ounce refer to?
The thickness of it.
I see.
Per foot.
Uh huh.
And then you get it in different colors, and a lot of these leather companies, you got to order not less than 6 to 10 sides of leather to get them to ship it within
right.
6 months' time, right. just about it.
Right.
So you may be dead to those leads before it comes in.
Really? Have you ever had any trouble getting the kind of leather you needed, or you've always been able to get it pretty well?
Well, I've been, let's put it this way, pretty fortunate. Because I stay in behind it. I keep about $500 in the mail at all times for leather
right.
and supplies.
Right.
And I don't just plait whips alone. I do a lot of other stuff with leather also.
Uh-huh. What other kind of work do you do?
Tooling and stamping and
uh-huh.
such as this here. This is a little, just an accomplished thing.
Oh, that's woven.
Place mat.
Woven, yeah, that's great.
And I build every bit of this template okay. for that. And I'll show you how it breaks down.
Okay. Why don't we go and finish talking about the whips, and then we'll come back to the other work. That's great.
And these whips, you can get a lathe or get some woodworking outfit to mm-hmm. build those handles for you.
Mm-hmm.
But I went into this for tradition,
mm-hmm.
the old Florida style, because these whips was delivered here into Florida in the spring of 1529 by the Spanish.
Is that how old that tradition is?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. They unloaded the men, the cattle, the whips, and the horses at what is now Port Tampa in the spring of 1529 when the Spanish was trying to settle Florida. So that's the way that it got started. And I've been tracing history on it ever since I was large enough to study history.
Yeah. What else do you know about the history of the bull whips?
Well, they went down whenever the Spanish lost out. They just left everything. And a lot of settlers picked those up, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a few that was, you know, left.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they were come from Spain or Italy or where, he had to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to have stock to survive, and they got to just tanning and figuring out how to make leather. And the whips that they brought is not altogether the style of whip that we have here today. They ran on an average from 20 to 25 feet long and built onto a staff about 22 to 24 inches long.
I see. They were much longer.
Yes, they were. And the people that use those whips did not set the top of a horse to use them.
Uh-huh.
They walked behind the herd and kept them moving on with those whips. And they did have horses where one runaway drifted away to bring in the strays.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
the ones that followed the herd with those whips walked.
Did the Spaniards bring cattle into Florida?
Yes, ma'am.
So there have always been cattle ranches
They brought
here?
Them from Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, they owned Mexico and called it Little Spain.
Right.
And they brought them from there here to keep the settlers from starving, but by the time they got them here, what the Indians hadn't killed, they had starved to death just about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it, well, of course, Spain had to give it up as a bad deal of
mm-hmm.
populating Florida, because they did take a big start in it.
Mm-hmm.
So one country would send people over here and another one. We don't know where we came from, who we came from,
yeah.
or anything. We're just Floridian.
Yeah.
And I'm proud to be one. Not that I don't like the other states, because there's very few states in the Union I haven't been in and had contact with people in.
That's what interests me about this project, is we're trying to talk to people who are native Floridians, who do things that you find in Florida that you wouldn't find anywhere else, that are really things that are native to the state
yeah,
of Florida.
And I teach by correspondence and cutaway patterns about 4 or 5 places over the United States.
Oh, that's fascinating.
All the way to Seattle, Washington.
I can't imagine that there are many people like you out there anywhere in any state that are doing this. Have you met other people that do bullwhip braiding since you've
on
been?
On a small scale, yes.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them that build them never repair them when they tear up.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Now, do you do this for a living?
No, ma'am. I got mine made the rest of my life. I'd come out better if I didn't.
Yeah.
But it's something I've always wanted, and I don't intend to just sit around and just...
So it keeps you busy and you enjoy
it?
Yeah.
As long as you stay busy, well, you stay active.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who are your customers for your whips?
Lots of ranches, different places, and people that just likes a whip, you know, come by and buy one. And then I've got about six Western stores, six or eight, that handle them, you know, that where the ranchers trade with them. And
right. Now, this is not just in Florida. This is people from other states, too? Or
all over the state. This fella came all the way from close to Mobile, Alabama, over here the other week and bought 12 and gave me an order for six more.
That's incredible. Why would he need so many? He has a big ranch and...
I didn't even bother to ask him.
That seems like a lot. Yeah.
You know, because if he wanted them and had the cash money and he kept picking out and paying off, and I got to build him six ox whips.
What's the difference now between an ox whip and a...
Well, it's only approximately 6 feet long.
Uh-huh.
And here's as near as I can show you. This is a cutaway pattern for teaching. But it's built on that style there.
Uh-huh.
Now, this is a little slender. Because this was a cutaway pattern to here, and it went to Seattle, Washington, and everywhere else, and back around different places. And then I wanted to show how that deerskin tail went into a whip at White Springs the other day. So I just put some strands on down here, worked it out to where that I could show them how to put the tail of it in.
Now, what does the tail serve to do?
That is flexibility for a quick return that causes the sound.
It lashes back on itself, and then...
And here's what the little slash looks like. Oh, I've got to tell you, this here is 100% suede, like fancy jackets and shoes are made out of.
Oh, that's fantastic.
But that nylon slash on there are either hair from a cow's tail or a horse's mane or anything. The fragments of that tearing off is not what makes the sound. It's a sudden return around recoil that breaks the sound barrier is what makes the racket.
Because it's so fast.
It's a terrific return, and that's what this twisted part here is flexible in any angle you see.
I see, and light, I guess, too.
Yeah, it's light. And that comes back around there at a terrific force.
Uh-huh.
And I, for years, entertained with two at the same time, one in each hand, 14 feet long. This one's only 11 feet long.
That's incredible.
And this is my show whip that they just travel on review.
Oh, look at those handles.
And yeah, that's my special handle that I carve for my own
act,
and they don't go nowhere only on them whips.
What's FWC?
Florida Whipcracker.
Florida Whipcracker.
CS, that's Claude Shepherd.
Claude Shepherd, that's great. That's a beauty.
And that is water buffalo hide.
Where did you ever get that?
Just got it because it come into a Western store and they didn't even know what it was.
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, it's water buffalo hide if you'll trace it back. So they got a hold of the company they come from and said, yes, he's right. It says it is water buffalo hide. Both colors of it.
Huh.
And this is Kip, which is calf skin, where the calf had not exceeded 6 months old when it was killed for veal.
I see.
And they make this color. White, you can get white or black, see. And that is just custom-made leather, you see.
Uh-huh.
But that is Kip, both of it, the white and the...
Those are beauties.
And here is what the kangaroo hide looks like. That is true kangaroo hide from Australia.
Well, that's something I've sure never seen. Kangaroo hide, huh?
And here is the whip made off in that piece of...
Oh, that's beautiful
skin.
And soft.
That was a medium, what's called a medium weight skin. And it was this color.
Uh-huh.
And the whip, when I got it plaited, I dirtied some of them and had a clean hand on one hand and a dirty hand on the other. I made it that color.
How did you do that?
Well, honey, if you wasted as much leather as I did experimenting with dye, see, that's what I went into this for, to experiment, see what you could do with it.
I see.
And I can make it any color I want.
That's great. I'm going to put some more film in here. Just be a minute. I'll turn this off.
6 feet long, and it is 3 ounce liner leather, just like one of them tan ones up there, and the black.
Yeah.
And I used this one and this one with a whip act where I wrap both of them around the lady at the same time, do one at one time and one the other, and then both at the same time. And this 14 foot would snap just a split second ahead of the long one.
Oh,
and it sounded like two guns fire.
Oh,
and they'd come back
act.
And spiral figure eight to the ground, and they never feel them. And this one here is what I would cut the quills from the fingers and the cigarettes from the mouth. And that is true shroud line out of a Navy parachute.
Huh?
With the core pulled out of it, you know, those silk strands.
Yeah, that
and
must
I
be
made
real
that
strong.
On there and fixed that like that before I put it on the whip.
Uh-huh.
And it's never been changed since 1965 when I built this whip.
That's amazing. Let me get a picture of this one. Okay.
And they stand out there with those quills, and you just far enough that whenever you throw that whip, that just the end of that hits that quill of the cigarette, because if it wrapped around that, it would snatch it out, and them quills coming out at such a terrific force would burn their fingers and blister, you see. And then whenever they turn around with a sheet of papers like this, they stand there kind of like this, you see.
Uh-huh.
You're not looking for the person.
Right.
All you're looking for is that quill comes out there,
right.
And it's just about the size of a matchstick, and it's maybe a soda straw. That's what the average is what we use, is soda straws. And when it sticks out there, all you see is maybe look like a matchstick.
Yeah.
You just pop it.
Yep.
Right on. And then whenever they come back with that cigarette and puff that, and you just cut the coal of fire with that end that's in there.
That's incredible. How did you learn to do all that? Just taught yourself, experimented, or?
That's some more of my experimenting by putting me up a post the average length, the height that the average lady would be.
Uh-huh.
And then I figured how far her face would project out and how far the cigarette would project out.
Mm-hmm.
Or how far that she would hold that quill in front of her like this.
Right.
Assuming that it, and it worked out.
Uh-huh. How long have you been doing that? What do you call that? Whip cracking, I guess, right?
Well, that's in. It's just an act, you see, just entertaining act with the whip cracking.
Yeah. Is that what you do up at the folk festival in Hartford?
I used to, but I retired from stage, after theater, and arena. From there in 1971.
Mm-hmm.
They had so many coming in there until they rushed you. They come out on your time.
Yeah.
That they allotted you. An old man could get up there and do like a 16, 18 year old boy.
Career. 5 or 6 minutes, sure.
And a long time, I would use two of them whips standing the top of a horse, galloping around the arena at a rocking chair canter. Put one foot right behind the saddle on the camel back there. And listen to